Well, there's another interesting intro for Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Welcome to still another episode into Insanity with Dr. Fred. Tonight, we're going to have an interesting deal. We're going to go into a little bit of the energies around World War II. And we're going to talk about Gandhi and Hitler. And this is something I did back about 1984 when the Iron Curtain was still very much up and in place, and things were a little bit different than they are now, not much, and it goes on from there. And in the second half of the show, we're going to do some Pleiadian science stuff from a lecture I did out in New York, and I think it's got some pretty cool information in it that we haven't discussed so far. So I'm just waiting to see what they're doing out there tonight, what Jim is doing. And by the way, that poem was something I wrote back in the 70s. Somehow or other, ended up just now getting playing again. It's on, I think that's on Atlantis Rising, if I remember correctly. So I think we're waiting for Dr. Bell to get on there with Jim on his show, bringing the new forward show. We should be hearing from him any second there. There it is. There he is, Dr. Bell.
KFOX Redondo Beach continues with Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Now, live from Laguna Beach, California, here is Dr. Fred Bell. Good morning, Dr. Bell. Good
morning, Tim. How are you doing today?
I am fine. It's raining. Good morning, Laguna Dr. Beach.
Bell. Rain last night. It's not raining right now, but it looks like it will rain some more.
Good.
So you guys had fun this morning. I listened to some of the shows this morning. It sounded like you guys were having a lot of fun.
Now, what do you think of Frederick?
Oh, he's interesting. He's a real devotee, you know?
Yes, he is.
And devotees are always a lot of fun because they have a tremendously active imagination, you know? And he definitely has that. He's good energy, you know? He'll definitely bring people, shake people up a little bit, and like make them think about things a little harder, you know?
Well, I think Frederick likes to shake people up and get them to think.
Yeah, that's his thing in this lifetime, which is great, you know? And I enjoy him. He talks fast, too. He talks faster than I do.
Yes, he does.
So how many times? He's been on a few times now, I guess.
He's been on a couple of times, and there was a seminar done just about a month ago, I guess, so maybe not quite that long ago. And we had a couple hundred people there, and it was quite an enjoyable evening.
Yeah, it sounds like fun, you know. I like listening to him talk about reincarnation. He keys in a lot on Hitler, I noticed that, too.
Yes, yes.
And, I've just been making a tremendous study of Hitler's life. Matter of fact, I'm reading Mein Kampf right now. It's an incredible book. I recommend that everybody read that book because Hitler was one of the greatest psychologists that ever walked the face of the earth.
He was also a psychic.
Yeah, very much so. He was also into the teachings of the White Brotherhood, and You know, his even a lot of the movies like the George Lucas film, In Search of the Lost Ark, he's, you know, his whole regime is, you know, he's looking for the treasures. Back when him and Goring was this general right underneath him, when they were raiding these different countries and looting these different, you know, museums, and a lot of these countries, like when they took over, they came into Poland, they were down in Austria where he was born, they went through all these countries, they were pillaging all these wealthy homes of all their collections, and then Hitler's dream was to build a private museum for himself with the greatest artifacts in the world. He was very much into the occult, very much, a lot deeper than a lot of books realize. He just, I think he went insane in the latter part of his career, because he didn't really, he saw all the problems of society, and those problems that I think, and he even went, he made a lot of reflections off the Babylonian times, which was quite interesting. But, you know, it's so easy to get caught in that, you know, and it was really interesting. There was a tremendous trade-off in personalities between Hitler's time and Mahatma Gandhi's time, because they both lived during the same time, and they were both very aware of each other, and they both respected each other. You know, Gandhi was one of the, that's when, in the Gandhi movie, he somebody asked him what would happen if Hitler came down into India, and he said that we would eventually win, that we would suffer many defeats, you know, and, it's quite interesting, because Gandhi's approach was the disassociated view of change, and Hitler was the associated view of change. Hitler tried to force the change, and Gandhi just opened the pathway to let it happen. That was the big contrast between these two men, you know. I found that, you know, in great spiritual giants, the ones that I've run across, the actions pretty much speak for, you know, where they're coming from. Not so much what they say, it's what they actually do. And it was quite interesting. So what did you think of Hitler? Did you ever get into his life very much?
Well, I think he was the original Darth Vader. I think he got sucked in by the dark forces, and it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what time. Studying his early part of his life, back when he was an artist living in a construction worker in Vienna, he seemed like he was pretty mellow then. It was sometime, I think it was... during the last reign of the last Kaiser there in Germany, that right after he was in the war, I think when he was in World War One at the latter part, I think that's what turned him around, just from my studies at that point. But realize that his life was predestined anyway. I really believe in predestiny in all of us, you know.
Well, I would hate to think that a person is predestined to kill 12 million people. I think that's almost a cop-out. I believe that he had free will and he knew what he was doing, and he was one of the most infamous people in the millennium.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's a great power. Yeah, he was definitely overtaken and one of the greatest personifications of a dark force, you know, and the way that some of these people were killed, especially the way they killed a lot of the children. I didn't want to talk about it on the air, but it was pretty brutal. There's no doubt about it. And the total opposite of that was Gandhi and his total gentleness, where he would kill himself to make a point. But if you look at the results of what Gandhi's work was all about versus the work of what Hitler was all about, you'll still see two nations totally divided at this point in time. It is no one man that can change anything. It has to be the entire consciousness of the world. That's what we were talking about yesterday about Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The consciousness has to come from within the spiritual world, within all of us.
You know, the strange thing that I always find so ironic about Adolf Hitler and the German people during that time was that, as you pointed out, Hitler was not a German by birth. He was an Austrian.
Right, he was born in Austria. And he studied the Nazi regime, and he studied the works of Marx and all of those people, you know. And, you know, it's like right now, he moved into Germany gradually because it was the opportunity that he was looking for. In Austria, it was a system not like America, but it was too stable for him to go in. He had to go where there was real conflict, where the potential for conflict, or the opportunities. The opportunity was in Germany. That's where he went. Anyway, when you look at Germany, you look at India, even today, like, what's India, you know? India, they have a tendency to assassinate their the Gandhi family. You know, the recent Gandhi was killed. And so that conflict is still going on between the caste in Germany. It's partially divided now by Russia. And you see the conflict going on there the Germans, the Europeans are as stubborn as ever in their ways. And, you know, the difference, like, there are old families embedded deep into Germany, just like there are old families that are in America that are Germans and English. And you really look around the world, you really can't do anything about the world situation. It's like if you take somebody that's a poor person and you feed them, you now have a non-hungry poor person. From within has to come the motivation to go out and become worldly and to become knowledgeable and to become servient to the human race. But then you have to learn how to what to serve and what not to serve. Because if you serve whatever energies you put your place yourself into, you become. So my whole philosophy in life at this point in time is to work on ourselves. And if people are open to self-development and share in our peer groups, then to extend our own self-knowledge, our self-anointment, if you would have it, onto the groups that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, so my whole spiritual thrust has been in this lifetime so far, and I just sort of fell into it, I wasn't looking for it, was to create, I saw science, you know, science being a problem to the human race, being that it was the spiritual development was going one way and science going the other way. And out of science, when science was deceived by ignorance and clouded by greed, you know, like in the days of the J. Pierpont Morgan and Nikola Tesla, when that was a good example of that conflict. So when this happened and science became tainted by this factor, then we created technology. And, of course, out of technology, we diversified this form of ignorance into a giant spider web all over this planet with the fossil fuels, the atomic energy, the way it's used, all the brute force, you know, all these mechanisms. So that's what I was involved with when I came into the science plane. I came through the political thing. I was very much of a hellraiser when I was younger. I was involved in rallies with the unions. I was involved with a lot of nationwide things in politics for a long period of time in my life, which I've never even talked about in this station because there's no need to. But eventually I began to see this need for science, and then I saw science killing the environment, so it was important to reinstate the environment. So the kinds of science that we talk about here with the pyramids and the ionizers and the vitamins and all the things that we're into is a science that will help heal this planet and make it possible for the children of the new age to flourish with Christ consciousness within them. Because, you know, you could take the most Christed being and put them in the middle of hell, and they may exist all right in hell, but hell won't get the benefit. So what you got to do is remove hell.
Okay, now, Dr. Bell, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay.
Since you've been studying Hitler and you are an expert in some of the more esoteric sciences, do you think that if some of the sciences which are around today and just coming to the forefront were really around during the time of Adolf Hitler, that would have stemmed his aggressive nature?
Well, I think, first of all, do you think that the war things that he
You were talking about enlightenment, and I think that, again, it has to be an individual enlightenment, and if every individual becomes enlightened, you have a mass of enlightened people, and that, of course, is very beneficial. But somehow I just feel if there were more advanced technologies around during that period, he just would have used them for more destructive purposes.
No, I totally agree with that. He laid out his basic doctrines of what he was going to do when he was in prison after the beer hall putsch of 1923. And during the time he was in prison, he laid out this entire constitution of what he was going to do. And people didn't believe that he was going to do it. So step by step, even though he'd written a book on exactly what he was going to do, you know, until it actually began to happen, people weren't aware of it. Now, because of, you know, you realize that Hitler had a tendency to look for, ex-convicts, people that were demented in nature, to carry out these diabolical plans. So when you have a demented group and intelligence doesn't discriminate between a demented soul and a free soul. It permeates all of us. And so what happens is these demented people had these cabinets within Hitler's ranks that Hitler wasn't totally aware of. There was a constant power play between the different people in his staff for power. They were constantly, like when he took over he had a big problem taking over the German army, the Wehrstadt, because when the German army didn't really believe in Hitler. They didn't want him. He created his own army, the SS, which was like a smaller army, and it grew until it could control the big army. And to get rid of the generals, for example, that were controlling his greatest opposition, for example, what he did is he accused one of them of being a homosexual and the other one of marrying a prostitute. And this killed two of his largest generals. And it took him like 4 years to set him up and actually have trials with the Gestapo proving, you know, that they were demoral. So he lowered himself to using demoralizing things on these people, even if they were innocent, to gain his power. Well, because of that, like the scientist that I work with in this lifetime, Wernher von Braun, for example, he was what I would call a fairly enlightened person. And he ran away in 1945. He was the guy that did the V-2 rocket, because at the very end of Hitler's time, you know, these great scientific achievements started to surface, because Germany had basically reestablished its scientific community and rearmed itself. During the good part of World War II, Germany was, when they started the war down in the southern front, in France being their first victory, they didn't even have proper weapons. They were understaffed. It was a big gamble. His army had told them they weren't even ready to start a war. And Hitler said, yes, we're going to do it anyway. And luckily, France offered no resistance when he took over the Rhine Belt down there along the river. So he was moving way too fast for his time, and all his good people defected. And so a lot of them came here. Like, Wernher von Braun was not the only German scientist to come here. My physics teacher at the University of Michigan, Dr. Katz, who was taught me about nuclear physics and particle physics, also had been in Germany. I studied under many, many very powerful, what I would call deep-seated German families that were great scientists, but they did not in any way, shape, or form believe in his viewpoint. They were believing in the democracy, which Hitler was so much against them. He was totally against democracy. Now, true, democracy does support the weak individual, and because of that, it does cause problems, and because democracy supports the weak individual, you get into big companies like Rockwell, and these weak individuals then build empires around them and create diversions about the true nature of a project. So as a result, pollution, people don't care about pollution. People don't care about what the outputs of science are going to, you know, the outputs of science are going to represent. So then the free thinkers, people like the Fred Bells in the world, come along, and they work themselves through the Rockwells like I did, and through the other aerospace companies that I worked for and the scientific communities that I came through, and suddenly realize that you just have to be somewhat self-centered in the scientific community and make your own contribution, and then whatever part of the scientific community can adapt to that, let them then join you. In this way, you end up with groups, and it's the old philosophy, the old adage of energy seeking its own balance. So, like I was, when I started ionization back in 1973, I was one of the most controversial people in America, because even though in Europe ionization was popular, and even though in America and some of the universities it was popular, the American public had no idea what was going on, and the pseudo-democratic, weak-based scientists would just shun it, because they are the kinds of people that control the power that are entrenched around some real high power that's sort of disassociated with them. So this is the whole thing that I had to work myself through. But then when I wrote the books on ionization that I wrote, and the machines started coming on the marketplace, there became a war to get out there with ionizers, but nobody was really still looking at the real source and cause of need for ionization. None of these ion companies were making any sort of crusade to turn around and clean up the environment. All they just would try to do is let the greed factor enter in the new age. So it's a constant weeding out process that we have to go through. And this, there's nothing you can do about it until more and more souls incarnate that are in Christ consciousness. That, you know, the difference between the Piscean, the philosophy of a Piscean, which is the age that we're coming through, versus the philosophy of the Aquarian, is the Piscean says, I believe, and the Aquarian says, I know. And being, I feel that I'm in the Aquarian age, and I make the statement, I know. And with that internal fortitude of knowingness, comes an expression of accomplishment, self-attainment, self-accomplishment in the world. And other people then it unleashes that in other people. There's some people that are right on the edge of being Piscean Aquarian. So this knowingness, this knowledge, you know, comes out of them. It liberates them. It's like a a nuclear reaction in a peaceful manner. I think it's kind of fascinating, you know, what we're doing here.
Yes, I do. Dr. Bell, I would like to take a time out to talk about something that is also fascinating, and that is Excalibur. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show after this time out. The name is Excalibur. Excalibur, the world's finest nutritional supplement for the 80s that you've heard Dr. Fred Bell speak of so often, is now available to you at a super low price. Only $14.95. Excalibur is a synergistically formulated supplement that took years to develop and guarantees maximum assimilation within the body. Most supplements meet only part of your nutritional needs, but Excalibur is a full-spectrum nutritional supplement. Don't settle for second best when you can have Excalibur. Order today by calling area code 714-499-2603. That number, 499-2603. Or write to Excalibur, 891 Santa Ana Street, Laguna Beach, California, 92603. Remember, don't settle for a second best when you can have Excalibur. 22 minutes now after the hour of 11 o'clock. Once again, here is Dr. Fred Bell.
Anyway, Jim, I want to kind of finish up more on this receptor that we've been talking about all week, letting people know about it, because it's one of the new age devices that we've created. And those of you that are just tuning in, we've been talking about a device that's worn on the body that produces a negative ionization effect within the structure itself. And what it does is it works with the DNA in the body, and there's a little booklet that's available for a dollar if you want direct information on it. But one of the forms of toxicity that comes into the body that causes changes that are not very good for us is radiation. And radiation comes from high-powered transmissions from radar and things like that. And what this does is it causes an unwinding of the atomic nuclei in the DNA structure of the cell in the body. And for example, if a person is in part of the aging process, the cell has a tendency to, it has to have a full set of coded genetic instructions. And these coded instructions are coded in an electronic code, just like a Morse code, like a telegraph transmitter. And so if radiation bombards this transmission, it creates extra pulses in this coded network, which then causes genetic mutations. In one case, is before the radio wires and the electrical power lines were strung up all over the planet back in 1930, 1929, in those days. Before that, the human being, the actual size of a person, was smaller than a person today. And if you don't believe that, go down to some shipyard where they have like these museum shipyards and look at the size of the berths and the old sailing ships that are sitting at the docks and the harbors. And you'll see that people were very much shorter then than they are now. So radiation has had an effect of making things larger. An extreme view of that would be down in Florida, down by outside of Miami, Florida. They did some experiments a few years ago where they would have these like 100-foot towers. And underneath the ground were large amounts of radium in capsules. And what they would do is they would raise these towers. They would bring radium out of the ground up a great big long platform and up to the top of a 100-foot tower, and they would bathe all of the vegetation within a 4 or 5 acre radius of this tower. And the kinds of vegetation that would get this this bath of radiation would be like watermelons and tomatoes and pears and different kinds of trees were there and many different plants. And as a result, the fruit, I mean, I've seen tomatoes the size of watermelons, and watermelons so big you couldn't pick them up, because the radiation here genetically caused the plants to grow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times larger than they normally would. However, the plants were not edible because they too became radioactive. So they would also, of course, there were genetic mutations in some of them too. Different plants behaved in different ways. So this was one of the effects of radiation on plant matter. Do you remember those experiments, Jim?
Not really, no.
They used to have pictures of them back in the days of when popular science and popular mechanics were popular. You know, they were very, you know, I think more of America was reading those magazines then because there was less TV than there is today. With the increase of television, I know people read a lot less, including myself, unfortunately. And so, yeah, this was some of the experimentation that went on down in Florida for several years. They had caught some huge watermelons. I mean, they grew tremendously. But what happens is in the human body, nature may want it to grow larger and more complex with time, but it's really not up to man to accelerate that growth. I feel that the growth will come out of the knowledge that the human structure attains going through the different exercises of the daily, you know, the process of daily life. And so anyway, when we look at our bodies, we got to realize that there's about 12 billion nucleic acids within the center of all our cells. This is called DNA. And just before we are born, the DNA has 46 base pairs per turn to direct a full complement of instructions to reproduce cells at a high vitality level. Now, I realize at 55 years age, because of the stress that we go through in society, there's only 6 base pairs per turn left. And this causes the cells not to receive a full set of instructions. And, of course, this is a gateway to advanced aging. This is where we see wrinkling of the skin, failure of the endocrine system, diseases like diabetes, hypoglycemia, and all the kinds of different diseases that we see. So what we have found in our life extension research, and I'll be talking about metabolic things very soon because we have some new products we're going to be introducing here momentarily in the nutritional field, but in the electronic field, the DNA, in order to reflect itself back and forth, uses large amounts of precious minerals like chromium, for example. It's very important in the body. And these are electronically gated by this pulse technique to produce complements. And the complement, of course, is the sugar phosphate step, like a stepladder that grows in a spiral manner, these little spirals, like little spirals inside our cells. And these forms of toxic stress reduce the rate that these spirals are reproducing themselves, so the spirals end up getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. So we found that devices like, you know, we worked with pyramid energy, we found that first of all, pyramids would cause plants supposedly to grow bigger and healthier than the control plants that were not exposed to pyramid energy. But this, of course, wasn't true. What the pyramid was doing was blocking the negative effects of the environment around the non-controlled plants. But, so, we wore pyramids for long periods of time on the head. We had people sleeping in them. I still sleep in one. Got a 5-year-old daughter that was born in one. But the problem with the pyramid was it was too large and cumbersome to really get any effectiveness out of in daily life. It didn't fit into our societal norms. So what we did is we reduced the pyramid structure down to 144 small pyramids and put it on a small spiral disc called the nuclear receptor. And that, of course, was the birth of the nuclear receptor generation, which is what I would call a part of an alternative technology that we're constantly trying to make people more and more and more aware of.
And, Dr. Bell, unfortunately, I'm also aware of time, and we are out of it for today.
Okay, great. If you want more information, you can write us at 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach, zip 92651. And we just finished a 6-hour tape series off of some of my seminars. It's available for $49.95 for those of you that want Dr. Bell seminars, because we get a lot of calls on that. So until tomorrow, everybody have a nice day, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Dr. Bell. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go, baby. And that was the end of another Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. Those are lots of fun to do, I must say. And now we're going to find Dr. Bell doing something else. Oh, yeah. What's Dr. Bell going to be doing now? He's going to be giving a lecture in 1994. He's going to jump up almost 9 years for this little deal. This is going to be good. This is a great lecture. I'm listening to it. I always remember stuff whenever I hear my lecture. Those are good things to hear. Hope everybody's having a good time out there tonight. And be careful, working on some live Saturday night shows here pretty soon with some wild and crazy guests. So let's see what Dr. Bell is up to now. I know he's out there somewhere. Dr. Bell, are you out there?
Devotees now. I love it.
Devotees. I always start my lectures
the same.
How many
have you ever heard me speak before?
How many of you ever heard me speak before? I always had to ask that question. It's not a repeat of a deal. It's just what I always ask.
There's a sense of humor back here anyway.
Ask all you out there. How many of you heard me before? And you're still alive,
well,
and you're still functioning.
I ask those loaded questions for a couple
of
reasons.
Wow, there's
one,
two of you.
I tune into the audience. Some of the people have heard me speak before. Some of us are repeat.
There's three of you out there.
Saying,
four, five, six, seven, eight. Wow, we got a big listening group tonight.
I
thank
say,
you.
What happens is everybody gets lost in the middle. So I want to talk a little bit. I'm sure you've been noticing the news, what's going on. And for those of you that don't know me, I've been lecturing on the circuit since about 1974, starting with the National Health Federation before the Whole Life Expo group started. And my background is I was a physicist, a chemist, and a doctor, and an interesting background, and also a part-time musician. So, and musicians always tell me to keep my day job, which is the other three occupations. So that seems to be just fine. And I'll try to explain about why I'm in music if I get a chance to at this lecture. If not, we'll talk about it in the workshop. But I've been a contactee of the Pleiadians since 1971. And for 10 years, the first 10 years of contact with them, I was with a woman by the name of Semyasi. And she began to teach me a lot of science. Now, I had a science background before, having worked with the United States Air Force in radar, having worked with NASA for 4.5 years with Wernher von Braun on the Apollo and the Minuteman and the Saturn rocket, which landed on the moon. So I had what I thought was an average science background, maybe a little stronger than average. But when I was around the Pleiadians, I began to understand science on a different level. And if you understand their background in science, a Pleiadian lives about 1,100 years. And the first 120 years of their schooling is equivalent to about 15 of our PhDs. And they cover hard science quite well, which was really interesting. But one of the really phenomenal things that I learned about from Pleiadian science was their understanding of nature. Semyasi used to say, you know, man has never created a blade of grass yet in the laboratory. And this meaning that we don't really understand nature. And it's really important to get an understanding of nature and how the natural forces work around us. On Era, where Semyasi came from, it's a fourth planet out from a star called Taygada in the constellation of Pleiades, which is 500 light years from here. She told me that the pastime of the Pleiadians was actually horticulture. And they showed me several different things and explained to me several different things that they do in nature about how the types of foods that they grow, the ability of plants to absorb radiation. For example, if you'll notice when the sun comes up in the morning, it has a certain color, more of a yellowish color, but when it sets through the atmosphere, it goes to high noon, it becomes very yellow, and it sets in the atmosphere in the evening, it goes into crimson colors and magentas and sometimes dark yellows and golds, and you see all this change. And interestingly enough, the human body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon, three gases in a solid, and it goes through vibratory changes during the day too. The hydrogen atom is polarized. You could look at the hydrogen atom as being an electron and a proton, or the moon being the electron and the earth being a proton. And when the sun comes up in the morning, seven colors emanate from the hydrogen atom, representing seven levels of consciousness, with the polarity of the red being closest to the center, or closest to where the earth would be, and the final color, or the polarity of the violet, would be violet on the electron, so it's like a rainbow. And the center color is green, which is the color of nature. And as the sun moves across the sky during the day, the color of hydrogen atom changes. So when the sun sets in the evening, the red, which was at the nucleus, is now at the outside, at the electron, at the orbit, and what was on the outside becomes on the inside. And do you ever notice how your feelings and your consciousness change from the morning till midnight? Always different consciousness. And these are some of the kinds of things that the Pleiadians have taught us. And when you start to understand that the hydrogen atom is the most active atom in the body, combined with oxygen and nitrogen, and hooked up to the big pyramid, which we call the carbon atom, and this creates all the cells in the body. And all the cells in the body are hooked in creating all the organs in the body, and all the organs in the body make the body what it is, the consciousness of what it is. The individual soul that's inhabiting this body varies from body to body. And each one of you probably knows that. But the basic things that we're given with have to do with how we operate in life. And each person with their individual bodies and their individual consciousness go through a big thing of marrying into their bodies, getting familiar with it, either abusing it or taking care of it, and using this vehicle for expression of the soul through a lifetime. And this all sounds well and good, But the point that I'm leading to from the Pleiadian side of it, it's very entertaining, it's very interesting, and it's very scientific. But then you look at the other side of the picture. There are other little extraterrestrials here, one little group known as the Greys, that have been working with our government for a number of years, since probably in the early 50s, when they made their first visitations and set up their first habitats at Edwards Air Force Base in California, which is now known as Muroc Field. The Greys, on the other hand, had a very similar energy as the Pleiadians, except opposite polarity. And the Greys, they have destroyed their planet, so they've come here and gone to other places to live. In the process of their sojourn around space, they've been moved, you know, pushed away from certain areas like the Pleiadian areas, the areas where the Andromedans live. Other extraterrestrial races have pushed them away, and they've sort of migrated here. Along with the Greys comes a certain amount of power. These Greys know a lot about sleep, hypnosis, and the manipulation of the doorway or the wall of ignorance that exists between the human soul and the human body. And as a result, you have abductions, implants, all these different types of things, women getting pregnant, carrying fetuses for 3 months and being aborted, and all of these types of situations. Along with that, we have what we call the secret government. This is not basically the government that you see in Washington, D.C., the Senate and the House and the presidency. What we have in the judicial body, what we have is a group of energies and people that are behind the scenes, the Trilads, people with real money and power. The Trilads have been fascinated by the Greys since the Greys reestablished contact here. And the Trilads, through the Central Intelligence Agency and different other agencies, have set themselves up alien bases at Area 51, Hawthorne, Nevada. They have set Dulce, New Mexico, Bentwaters, England, upstate New York, different places. In the process of doing that, they have decided to manipulate the mass consciousness worldwide and interject a certain veil of secrecy about their actions, which of course is always being subject to scrutiny, and have a little bit of fun with people and basically try to take over in a nice way. And so what they've done is, first of all, they put out through the government lots of false reports. For example, the ozone layer. A lot of people think that freons and PCBs are a problem with the ozone layer, when in fact it is high-flying jet aircraft. And the ozone layer was a good example because it allows them to manipulate you through your immune system. And these manipulations began probably after World War II in a great amount. I think part of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were, in fact, to see what radiation really does, because we really didn't have to drop those bombs on the Japanese, but we really didn't have to intern them in prison camps. For example, like Judge Ito, another popular character's parents were interned in. These things weren't necessary, but because during Truman's time, the E.T. Gray connection began, it was solidified during Eisenhower's time, the Earth became a great stage to find out what they could do with people. And the immune system is a great area. And one of the questions that came up this morning in the UFO panel was, well, why don't the government announce this? Well, the government couldn't announce it because they're very embarrassed. You know, for example, they didn't want to announce the fact that they injected 1 million people in Mobile, Alabama with cancer. They didn't want to announce the fact that they started the AIDS epidemic in 1978 in San Francisco. They don't want to tell you about ELF. ELF is one of the most powerful influences on our life right now. And one of the reasons why we're seeing so much violence for no reason. And it has a profound effect on our youth generation, because along with the contra capabilities of the groups that we're working with, for example, Oliver North, during the Reagan administration, bringing large amounts of the FDA, DEA said they brought up approximately 1% of the cocaine brought into this country happened during the Reagan administration. Now, that's quite a bit of cocaine. Now, if you take and realize that this pressure from the ELF is on the kids, it's on a lot of it, it's on everybody, this pressure puts such energy on the brain that it causes them to go to heavier drugs. And now what we're seeing in the schools is cocaine is not really where it's at anymore. It's heroin again. Large amounts of heroin are being brought in by your CIA and your friendly government drug dealers. So this is a tremendous pressure on the world. So certain things have to be done about this, or we're going to have a bit of a chaotic society, as we're already starting to show. Another thing the Pleiadians taught us about was how to realize and see through these veils. It becomes very important to see through it, but you have to get clear first. When Sannyasi left in 1989, the Andromedans came along, and they're a different group of people, a different group of entities. And the other way, the Pleiadians, people often ask me what they look like. They look like humans, except in the women, their earlobes, they don't have any kind of an earlobe. It's kind of a rounded bottom part of their ear. The Andromedans, who then replaced them in my life, have a little bit different attitude on life and philosophy on how to deal with humans. The Andromedans, first of all, stated why they were here, why the Pleiadians were here. They explained that the Earth and our solar system is a very important entity in the great cause of all things, where all things come from. And the Earth is sort of like the heart chakra. And the Earth, in its solar system, is rotating around the Pleiades every 25,827.5 years. During this large rotation, we go through 12,000 years of 2,000-year vibratory frequency changes. This is what is brought up in astrology. Astrology is the grid or the imprint of the soul coming through to the body. And it tells us how emotionally we'll react as individuals to signs of emotional or spiritual circumstances or confrontations. For example, we're coming now through the last 2,000-year period where the level or vibratory level of the soul was known as the Piscean. Now, you got to understand something about carnation and reincarnation. First of all, life as we know it starts from what's called an oversoul. An oversoul is the relationship between a bug, a piece of dirt, a tree, a flower, a bird, an animal. There's a relationship. Gradually in an area, it could be on this planet, it could be on another planet, somewhere else that supports physical life. An amalgamation comes in the life force and the genetics and the biogenetic evolution to where a humanoid type being is formed. And somewhere along the way, they discovered that humanoid type beings are somewhat in the image of the ultimate creator. And the whole message in that is basically, from what the Pleiadians have said, is that realize your image and realize your image is permanent over space and time, and your image is forever. It's always been here. It will always be here. So when finally we start to comprehend that, depending on what planet we came from, we start to come into a human form, and we live and we die and we come back and we live and we die. When we call the death state, we just change state or vibration. We end up vibrating up on another level that's more etheric than this one. It's more infinite, but it's quite physical. And it's called the astral plane. It's the same kind of energy that when you go to sleep at night and dream. When you get up on the astral plane, you spend a certain time there, and then you incarnate back down through the aura fields of the humans on the planet, because the aura field is what connects the human that's incarnation to a human that's not incarnation. These aura fields are all interconnected, and you come back down here and live on this planet for a period of time. This process of coming and going from the astral plane and the physical plane takes place in a particular location, and this location is called the Ring Pass Knot. The Ring Pass Knot is usually established near the point of origin of the soul in question, okay, the individual soul. In this case, in the Piscean Age, we were dealing with individuals that were in the Ring Pass Knot of Earth, meaning most of the people that started the religions and all these believers and these younger souls that lived here during that time were in fact incarnating back and forth between the Earth and the physical interdimensional spaces around the Earth. Now we move into the Aquarian Age. The Aquarian Age is a little bit different, higher vibration, a little bit finer aura field, an aura field that extends not only from humans living on this planet physically now, but humans that are not living here, living on other planets. And this delicate bridge, this delicate highway, allows a higher frequency soul that's broken through the bonds of Ring Pass Knot and moved out like a Jonathan Livingston seagull, lived in other planets and other worlds, and then has now returned, as Jonathan Livingston seagull did, to teach and help the younger souls that have not left the Ring Pass Knot. And that's exactly where we are in space and time, coming and realizing these entities incarnating in our children. Sometimes we have phenomena where the person's been a little sloppy in the body there, a little weak will, and somebody will just take over the body and push that person back off on the astral plane, and that's called a walk-in, because that person needs a little more astral tuning or something, okay? So we're in that space. Well, here comes the grave. Now, if you start looking at human anatomy, and you start looking at oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon, you'll see that the carbon atom is an octahedron. It's a four-sided pyramid on the top, a four-sided pyramid on the bottom. The unique ability of that, and I'll demonstrate that in my workshop, and you can feel it right now if you want. Just take and rub your hands together real fast, like this, and then move your hand apart. Feel that kind of like a energy going back and forth as you move your hands. And take a couple breaths when you do that, and you really feel it. Clears your energy out even better. That's the life force. If you were to take a little pyramid like you'd find on a pyramid like we have in our booth, or any pyramid you might have in your home, place it over your hand when you do that, you'd find that that pyramid would amplify that life force. Now, that life force is a combination of liberation of the energy of the hydrogen atom into the form of the carbon atom, which is eight-sided, an octahedron. Now, if you were to look at a plant and look at the blood of a plant, for example, and compare it with the blood of a human. A human blood cell, a red blood cell in a human, is four iron atoms. Four iron atoms connected by many different enzymes. And it's called two alpha chains and two beta chains. These four iron atoms are perfectly pyramid-shaped once again. And as they move through the blood, they release that same energy that you just released consciously with your hand, and that's called the life force. That is seven levels of consciousness being released from the carbon atom into the entire body, which is consciousness. If you were to look at the metabolism of a gray, you would find that he's like a plant. He has a three-sided atom, like a magnesium atom, and his blood is made up of chlorophyll. That means that he cannot anchor seven levels of consciousness like a human can, which is a number of, for example, chakras in the physical body. It's the number of endocrine glands that hold the hormones in the body, which all of your consciousness comes from. Seven is a very important number. The gray runs in sixes. Okay, different numbers, six-sided. Guess what? What is 666? So you can begin to see the biblical side of it, and that's exactly what they want you to see. The lower part of the sixth plane is the astral plane. So the gray's consciousness and his power lies on the astral plane, where we go when we're disembodied, and our power lies on the physical plane with an ability to put our head up into the higher heaven. So you begin to see the dilemma. Then you realize that the grays have decided, with the aid of the government, to put a program into action. This program is very simple. Let's take the Bible and the Revelation chapters of the Bible, and let's orchestrate that. That way, it has to do with the second coming. And that's exactly what they're doing, and it makes a lot more sense when you start looking at life that way. So all the news media is biased. All of the different places are biased. For example, if I'm on NBC with this giant Revelation news broadcast about a landing somewhere, I can be shut off immediately. Why? Because my sponsors, my advertisers, are owned by people in the Trilads, and they'll tell me exactly what I can and can't say. So one of the first things you have to do is look through the lines of the news and see what the real news is. There's a biased news that comes out of NASA. NASA is a giant WPA project. Everything that NASA does is a waste of time. It's like one gentleman was saying this morning, you have a guy in the Pentagon from the Army, you got a guy here in the Pentagon, another office from the Navy, another guy from the Air Force. They're all three working in the Pentagon, separate offices, the same project, and neither one knows about the other's project. It's called compartmentalization. That's where the tax dollars have been going. Where do they go? Well, they go to Alan Greenspan. You ought to have given a round of applause for him. He just raised your interest rates to 0.75%. Makes it harder for you to get a home now, harder for you to find a job. That's thanks to Alan Greenspan. So you can begin to see how sick this whole thing is. When the Andromedans came along, they began to instill what is called divine intervention. One of the things that the Grays said, which made a lot of sense to me, and I was surprised that they said it. They said it through a contact that Bill Herman had, who was one of the original contactees to the Grays. They said this earth is ruled by the growth-resistant generation. That is, if you realize that every one of you in here has an aura field, and every one of you is generating a summating aura field that's a combination of all of us here together in this room. That's a certain energy. It's different than the aura fields of the people down here on the street that aren't in this room. Okay? The ones out there, and the majority of the ones that are in this room, are resisting the growth. They're going with the system, they're going with the program, and the program is not for their benefit. They don't know. They want to be led astray. Some of us don't. But unfortunately, the totality of us that don't want to be led astray is a minor amount when you realize the whole world, all the problems in the Middle East. I mean, you think that Saddam Hussein would like to be in this room with his army? I think they'd be tuned into this conversation. I don't think so. They represent the majority of this planet. Now, here's the next thing that's a thing to think about. This planet and solar system is moving around the Pleiades. As we move around the Pleiades, we're in the Aquarian age. The Aquarian incarnation, these extraterrestrial bred people that are coming in now, really don't want to have to deal with the Middle East situation when their brothers and sisters are here trying to get the trip right. Okay? At the same time, the Earth is part of a solar system. We have Mars, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, different planets. They too have electronic fields around them, etheric fields and magnetic fields around them. These fields are all in conjunction with the sun. This energy is a harmonizing thing, except one planet. The third planet out has a problem. It's got a very bad, it's about to have a heart attack, you might say. Its aura field is not agreeing with the solar system. Well, if you have a solar system that's moving in conjunction around the Pleiades, coming close to other solar systems, putting off bad vibes because it's got a cancer cell in it, you're going to start to see some interaction. That's what the Andromedans are here for, and that's what divine intervention is all about. It's not about spaceships coming out of the sky and whipping people in, you know, taking them away like the divine rapture and all these kinds of things. It's about being here now and dealing with the situation as it really is. So, the Andromedans have come here, and they have begun to shift the, not the magnetic field of the Earth, it's 16 degrees off true north in the northern hemisphere, but they have begun to shift something that's perpendicular to the magnetic field. Anytime you have a field of energy, you'll have a field perpendicular to that field. In this case, it's called the etheric field. The Tibetans call it the anima mundi. It's where you go at night and what you charge up on when you align yourself to the north and you start to sleep at night. This is what you start to charge up on and align yourself with this field. But what happens if you align yourself and your body is magnetized, like most people's are, and you start aligning yourself with Earth's magnetic field, you're not getting any nutritional charging anymore. Your body's not detoxing anymore. Because that field, the nutrient field that's inside the magnetic field has shifted and began to shift in 1993. And by the year 2000, it shifted 4 degrees. 4 degrees of that shift will mean that unless you're tuned in to this alignment and its changes, you'll be basically a tourist on this planet and won't even be fit for a mental institution. And that's what's happening. And that's what the whole thing of the Andromedans is all about. So, the Andromedans and the Pleiadians have given us tools to work with to help our bodies make these changes. They have given us tools to fight the ELF. Why is ELF so dangerous? Because if you were to draw a little block diagram on the blackboard of how the body goes together, you'd find, first of all, the body's made up of minerals. That's 5%. It controls the other 95% of metabolism. If you go to a health food store, it's very hard to get good trace minerals. You need trace minerals because they have consciousness. In trace minerals, you'll find certain kinds of herbs. When we did the test of the individuals that survived the Nagasaki and Hiroshima bomb blast, we found that some that were very close to ground zero got huge amounts of radiation in their body were not affected by it. Yet we found people 20 miles away that didn't get so much radiation grossly affected by it. The reason for this was that the minerals and the electrolytes in the people that were not affected by it were quite present. In herbs like Bhotai, ginseng, and Gotokola, these kinds of things. Of course, the government always has tried to make ginseng illegal because they know about this stuff. When you go from minerals, then you go down to vitamins, or enzymes and vitamins, proteins combining the peptides, and you end up with hormones. Hormones are the first unit of biochemistry to possess consciousness. The ELF devices that are out there now, that work through your ground wire, cause you to gradually go mad in a funny way by interrupting your sleep at night, doing all the kinds of things they do, disrupt the protein combination chain to make hormones. As a result, you get genetic hormones that are not the exact ones that you need. When you get a certain kind of stimulation, instead of feeling euphoric and creative behind it, you end up feeling angry and negative about it. That's one kind of change that goes through with ELF. And these are the kinds of things that we have learned to combat, but you have to recognize them first in your life. One of the things that we did through the Pleiadians and the Andromedans was develop a device that's worn on the neck called the nuclear receptor. Some of you in here probably are quite familiar with it. Some of you probably never seen it before. The nuclear receptor intercepts any kind of outside energy that's alien to the body, converts it into a bioplasmic form of energy that the body can utilize. Therefore, the body is still subjected to the toxins and the poisons in the world, but it also, the body is able to process it, because you have to gain your power by processing it. The same thing is with some of the vitamin formulas and the other programs that we've been able to instill in the teachings. We know that a lot of people will be subjected to the AIDS virus. Yet, if your body is at a high enough frequency in the immune system, if you have your immune system build up on a higher vibration, you can get a direct hit of a blood or whatever, or mucus, in your body with the AIDS virus, and will pass harmlessly through your body. Because if you ever looked at, how many of you ever looked at a virus through a microscope? Well, if you look at a virus through a microscope, most of them look like some form of tetrahedral octopus, with little fang, little tentacles coming out. And these little tentacles come up to a cell, put their arm around that cell, and then start drilling a hole in it. They drill holes in cell walls. That's what viruses do. But we have found that if you keep the vibratory level of your body up, these little viruses come up to that cell, they're pushed away from the cell. They can never put their little arms around it, even though they're in the blood with it. It won't work. And this is what DNA addressing is all about. And it's really interesting because if some of you remember 5 years ago when I spoke in this very room, and even 6 years ago, I talked about the DNA and the holographic forms of energy of the DNA, as were being taught to me in 1991 by the Andromedans. Now, when you turn on your television, you watch O.J. Simpson, what do you see? DNA, right? It comes right up. It's come on a literal level, but DNA is very important. Now, what I'd like to do real quick before I do any questions and answers is have somebody come up, and I'll do a quick test and show you how the DNA can be reversed for negative energy. Somebody want to come up here? You want to go? Come on up here. Okay. Move this thing out of the way here. Water. It's about New York. We're talking. Is the Rockefeller Center a good place to go for the next show? Because this is big enough, you know. We talked about that. Sorry, a lot of people can't even get in this room. Okay, what's your name?
Vascon.
Okay, Vascon?
Vascon.
Okay. Turn around. That's a difficult one for me, but turn around here. Okay. Now put this arm straight out like this. I'll make a fist. Okay. Now when I resist.
I'm one of Dr. Stratfeld's famous, very famous kinesiology tests.
A little bit more strength.
You need to do this at home.
There we go. Relax
every
for a
night.
Now I'm going to give you this.
Test everything and then test the receptor. The
skeletons all over that? Harmful? Yeah, well, you got to breathe it. You're going to just look at it. She wants to look at the skeletons on this. This is glue. It's very poisonous. This is not even sold over the counter anymore. Okay, now, look at her. This is all right. We're going to have a real high experience here. Go ahead and breathe it.
No, I can't.
Don't trust me. Huh? I resist. No strength, right? No, none at all. Okay, relax for a minute. You want to get rid of that glue. It's a typical atmospheric day. Just a little more condensed in the tube. Okay, now put your arm out now. Now put a little glue up close to there. Now resist. Much better. What happened there? We'll try that again. Resist. Ooh, yeah, it's a little better. Okay, so now you can handle the glue, see? No problem.
And I didn't smell it,
I bet you can. Anybody can't smell this? You smell it? You smell it back there? It's pretty toxic.
The
yeah, let me have that back. Now, she wants to steal my receptor.
Well, that's not funny.
That's just some of the things that work against this. It's a technology that's very real. When you test for a nuclear receptor, for example, we have different colors. This is really working on the hydrogen atom, so we have to muscle test you individually to find out which color you're weak in before you wear one of these things. You just don't put one on. They'll all repel the effects of poison. So anyway, nuclear receptor was one device that was given to us in 1981, but we didn't bring it to the marketplace, I think, until about almost in the 90s, because it took a lot of research to get it right. Anyhow, now, is there any questions that we can cover before going to go over my time? It's already supposedly time to stop. They always let me go in after 10 minutes. Yeah, over there. Yeah, it's up by Montauk. North Montauk area. That's an area where there's a lot of UFO activity. We were talking about that this morning on the panel. And
was the end of that show. It was that quick. That was almost 30, 40 minutes there. Yeah, the nuclear receptor, I've noticed this last week, we've gotten so many calls to change stones. Everybody seems to be going for the aquamarine all of a sudden, and I don't know what brought that on. It was an energy shift. That's, you know, we've got thousands of customers out there, tens of thousands actually, probably by now, with the receptors, and all of a sudden there was this wave of calls, people wanting to change their stones, their gemstones out, on the silver ones or the gold ones, solid gold ones, not the plated pieces. So we've been going through that. So what it is that once you tune in cosmically to the energy of the nuclear receptor, what happens is you will know when it's time to change your stone. That's what I'm seeing now. A lot of these people, some of them, probably the newest, well, I don't know, 2 or 3, 4 months, but normally a lot of these people have it for several years. And all of a sudden, all at once, in 1 week, they must have changed out 25 or 30 receptors for their stone changes because their body has evolved. And it was just not coincidental. This is the first time in the history of the company we've had that many requests for the same thing in such a short period of time. So it shows you there is an energy movement of consciousness within the receptor itself. Remember, it's a Pleiadian device, so maybe these people are getting downloaded with the energy from the Pleiades subconsciously or whatever. I don't know if none of them are contactees, but that seems to be what's happening. And I know we often fall back on the nuclear receptor. It's a huge thing out there right now, and it's helping a lot of people. And I just want to thank everybody for listening to these crazy shows. And, you know, I don't have insurance if you go insane listening to them, by the way. If you do go crazy, just call 911, I guess, and just tell them you listen to a Dr. Bell show, and they'll know what to do from there, because I wouldn't know what to do. And so next week we'll have another show. And the shows I've been listening to, Saturday Night Live on blog, those are fun. Keep listening to those. We've got some really new, exciting people coming on board. And we're adjusting the shows and the content as we move forward into bigger and better things. And I've got some really wild people that I want to bring on board, maybe even do some shows that will really maybe even be better than mine, because mine aren't that good anyway. Maybe I'll replace myself here one day. Who knows? And hopefully pretty soon we'll start getting into the television side of the whole deal. That would be really good, too. The television side would be more productive. And we're thinking about, at this point, I'm thinking about getting a camera. I actually bought the camera. And I'm going to have either a website when I do the live shows that you can go to separately, open the browser the second time, and you'll be able to see me demonstrate things and do that kind of thing. Plus, you could probably go on the internet and, as I do a show live, see it being transmitted through the computer, which is the normal way that most people do it. The first option is where we use an actual separate camera with a computer built in that's got an IP address. And that's why I've been using a lot of those lately for my normal stuff anyway, so they're kind of neat. And that, of course, will lead us to a stepping stone off into the next dimension of television on blog and service. And bbsradio.com. So with all of that, we'll start getting ready to leave. If you have any questions, you call 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603. And talk to Mikkel. She's like a doctor. So she'll talk to you for free. I charge a lot of money to do it because I have a huge amount of overhead on me, unfortunately, which is not, I have a big company to support and people that work for me, so I have to, think about that a little bit. But anyway, we will be fading out here soon. There's a good little bugger there. Anyway, I hope that everybody enjoys our shows. And our website, of course, is www.paradyne.com. And we've got some specials coming up on crystals. There's some exotic things going on with master crystals. Go to the previous shows to learn the value of those. But I guarantee you, once you had one of those things, I've never had one person ever buy one of these master crystals that we have, which are rare, and not regret it. This doesn't happen. And you can see the political environment is getting choked up. And the energy environment is getting choked up. And, of course, Bin Laden is now back again. Remember, I tracked him for the government a little bit back in 01. tracked him for about a month. And then when I had absolutely found exactly where he was in China, they didn't like that at all. They got mad at me. They said, oh, he's dead. You were wrong. And guess what? He went right on up to the Philippines in January and February and March after he did some healing in China. And in March, he said a lot of things, negative things going, a lot of terrorist activity in the Philippines because he was up in Laos. It's north of there, if you look at your map. So, Bin Laden is back. That's unfortunate. He's a wise guy, and you got to watch out for him. But don't be fearful of terrorism. It only feeds on fear. Move into the light, into the Pleiadian energy. Use your Pleiadian devices, your nutritional weapons, meditation, and you'll always be in the right place at the right time, and you'll never, ever have to worry about terrorism again. And let us guys take care of them. Until the later, have a great evening.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.